Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, people, and welcome to the Sports Fiend Show. I'm your host, Ian Mackey. This is my counterpart, R. Vance Owens. Vance, we got a lot of things to cover today in so little time. So let's just get right to it, Vance. We'll work out the parameters. If you paid attention to the show, you know the rundown. Vance, Colin Kaepernick, first two games, sat down. He wasn't in uniform during that phantom third game. He was in uniform. Someone caught it. Taking, he was making a stance quietly. Wasn't making a big tour out of it. Someone saw him, talked to the media, and Colin Kaepernick said he won't stand during the national anthem until this country makes some changes or the culture around police brutality or racism becomes better. You feel like this country is not completing its creed of all men are created equal, or that, you know, what this country was founded upon. So he's going to sit during the national anthem, and it is a big to-do. It's on all the sports talk radio shows, CNN, Fox News. Man, give me a take on Colin Kaepernick and this whole thing.
Well, I applaud Colin Kaepernick for standing up for something like he's standing up for Black Lives Matter or any inequality they see, you know, going on. But my thing is that I don't like the reaction from other players that he's getting, you know, talking about he shouldn't do that because of the flag. He's standing up. I mean, like you said, this country was supposed to be the land of the free. He has the right to do that. He can sit down. If he can stand or sit if he don't want to. You know, he's choosing to protest in his own way. He doesn't need permission from anybody. In the NFL, he don't have to stand up. He's not breaking any rules. He just, you know, he protesting in his own way. Like you said, he's not bothering anybody. He's sitting down because he don't like the social injustice that people of color are going through. So, you know, black people, for the most part, but Latinos, Muslims, everybody, you know. So for those players, mostly white, that's running around talking about, you know, he shouldn't do that because it's dishonoring the military. No, it's not. I don't have anything to do with the military. And not only does the white players bother me, those black players, they're saying that he shouldn't be, he should stand up. You know, and then Harrison talked about he not even black. See, he don't even know anything about him. Colin Kaepernick is black. He's mixed, you know, but that's not the point here. All I'm saying is he has the right to do what he want to do, and he chose to sit down.
I just think it, you know, I know it's a sensitive subject, and I know people are like, he's like, but he disrespects the military. He never said he disrespects the military. He said anything, he respects the military as people and family. He discussed it with his teammates before he did it. He wanted everybody to know, but he wouldn't disrespect the military. I find it ironic that when people say, I'm not going to stand during the flag, or the flag is such this great thing, but it represents the military. It represents us all. And it's not just one faction or one part of us that the flag represents. The flag was so great. Why are there flag thongs and flag onesies? Like, if the flag was that beautiful, and it is a beautiful flag, don't get me wrong. If we don't respect it that much, let's respect it, period. You know what I'm saying? These man thongs that are United States flags, women thongs are United States flag. Let's be mindful and be respectful that it's not just the military, and he wasn't disrespecting the military. I think that's the furthest thing he was trying to do. He's saying the flag represents us all. And I find it kind of ironic that one man who ran for president said, America's terrible. We're going to make America great again. Can run and be president. Colin Kaepernick saying, America's not great. It's not what it's standing for, what its creed was standing for. But let's try to make it great. He wanted to start this conversation, this dialogue, not more than dialogue, a change in the culture and have us discussing change and what can we do. Now, I don't care if we ever talk about Colin Kaepernick again. I think the bigger issue is that we start this conversation or try to bring along change to help police brutality or racism. Like, even in my job, I know people who listen to the show know that I work for the post office. And I work for the post office in probably probably the whitest part of Indiana. I got work in Brownsburg, Pittsburgh lives in Jamestown, that man. So I've been in all those places. There's good people there. But there are some people who just don't like me because I'm black, and that still exists. And I think some people get in a little comfort of their own bubble, in their own little world, and they think racism is gone. And it's not. One man's running for president saying America is not great at all, but I'm going to make it great again. And we boast about him, and people love him and want to vote for him. We got another guy saying, look, America's not great. We have some flaws, but we need to find a way to work this out, and I'm not going to stand until we try to figure out that way. And we label him the bad guy. And it's going on a tangent, but one more thing. Like I see people talking about Colin Kaepernick that, and when Ron Lochte got in trouble, I didn't see none of these people talking about how he misrepresented the United States or he's bad for America, because he's over there in Rio representing the country. He is one of our representatives, and he lied and deceived. And we called him a kid, a 32-year-old man, we called him a kid. And I just find it kind of hypocritical or just crazy. Like, you look at the parallels, and it's just wild, you know. Vance, what else you got to say about that, man?
I mean, you saying that about Ryan Locke, but you got to look at it. Colin Kaepernick is black. And, you know, he stands for something that is against the norm, you know. I mean, most of the country is white, you know, percentage-wise. And, you know, so I guess they want to say it's a white man's world. So, you know, it's a lot I can say about this. I'm kind of getting, you know, I don't really want to get too mad about it. But it's just, you know, he stands for his rights. And like I said, it, for those black people who did come out and support Kaepernick, or those people, period, who supported Kaepernick, says nothing wrong with them. I applaud them too, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, a couple more people. But I'm just mad at the people, Jerry Rice, Michael Irvin.
I think you can't be so much mad at them. I think they don't understand, or like they're in their bubble. These people are in their own personal bubble, and they're not trying to rock the boat in their world. Because once you rock the boat in their world, it messes up their finances. I don't think a lot of players, people are like, oh, he's making $19 million, blah, blah, blah. But if the poor people speak up, you guys are like, no, you guys are poor. You know what you're talking about. A person who has money, these celebrities have more power, and they see the difference. And some of them just want to help. And I think when poor people speak, they don't listen. But when people of influence, of stature speak, I think it has a greater effect. And I think more than anything, this starts the conversation. And I want to be more than just a conversation. I want it to come with some solutions. Like, if there shouldn't be a police officer who has enough training that he shouldn't be afraid of me without a gun just because I'm black. You shouldn't be like, oh, I'm in fear of my life because I'm standing in front of you and I'm black. There should not be any fear because you're trained. You understand the consequences. You know what to do. Shouldn't be afraid of a 14-year-old, Tamir Rice, because he's a black kid and you're a white man and you're like, man, he scares me. There shouldn't be a fear of that. I think we have to get beyond. People are going to have their own opinions, regardless of whoever you – I mean, people have their own opinion about Trump, whatever. I think we have to get beyond, like, those athletes who are fearful of their position. I think they're scared to lose where they're at. A lot of people, that's all they have now. I think that Jerry Rice, more than anybody, I'm not speaking on Jerry Rice like I know him, but I feel like he don't want to lose his position, so he's going to tote the line. He's going to tote the company line. He's going to have a lot of people who tote the company line. And
you got people like Jerry Rice who have made their money. Michael Irvin has made their money. Yeah, they got TV deals, but
yeah,
they have made their money. Why not step up and say, now, for that player from Philadelphia, the Brooklyn,
they still got more money
to
make.
Drafted.
They still got more money to make. They still got more money to make.
They still
want to be invited
to
these events.
But why not? But you black first, though. So, you know, step up for y'all. You got to look out for yourself. And I know, I understand you got to take care of your family, just like the boy from Philadelphia who recanted and said he was going to gonna stand up doing the flag, but he had said at first that he was gonna sit down. He's a rookie, undrafted rookie, trying to make a team. I understand why he went back, because he's trying to make a team. He's not trying to make the league. But for those oldest players who are established And you around here talking like Torrey Smith talking about the military and all that. Man, Miss Military. I just feel like it should be more black players step up in these kind of situations. And I feel like if they're not going to step up, they're not going to use whatever level they're on. They just, hey, let somebody else do it. Let somebody else have that position. Because, you know, you have the platform to say something. You on TV every day. You know, this is not the regular old joke. Well, if I say something, you know, not too many people going to hear about it. If he says something, just like what Colin Kaepernick is doing, people going to know it. So I just think...
Well, man, I think everybody got a right to their own. I agree with you, too. Everybody got a right to their own thing. I think those people don't want to affect their bubble. Stay happy in their bubble until their bubble busts. But let them have their bubble until their bubble busts. And then we can go back to those people. But we have to say, I commend Colin Kaepernick. I'm great that he started this conversation. Today got the world. It restarted the conversation because out of all these incidents, you know, we're going to keep having these conversations. But let's have some solutions with these conversations. Let's keep it going. Let's change it. Let's end bigotry. Let's end racism. Like, don't come at Colin Kaepernick because he wants to make America great again. He wants it to fulfill his creed that it hasn't. And I think people just in general feel like, you know, he's playing a black card or whatever. If you've never been black, you don't understand people looking at you funny or when you walk in the store. And I know that's like me playing the black card, but you ain't never had to deal with that. So the pigmentation of your skin has never called you all. You like watermelon, or you like chicken, or, you know, you can dance or you can't swim. I think if you talk about stereotypes, black has the worst connotations of stereotypes. We like chicken or watermelon, we can dance, we can run, we can jump. Like, it's nothing like, oh, they're great people, like, you know. Oh, they won't cause any trouble. That is such a negative connotation when you talk about blacks and stereotypes. And when people dig in and focus on the negatives, I think they dig into those stereotypes too, and that's what causes all the friction and the drama and the bigotry. It is how people are raised, and I think more than anything, we have to raise better people for generations to come. Maybe it may not be my generation or your generation or your child's. Somewhere along the line, it has to get better. It just has to. Maybe one day we'll all be one people instead of black, white. We'll all just mesh together one day. Everybody keep intermingling races and we'll have one race and we won't have this much. But Vance, we got to keep it going, man. We could talk about this all night on the show and we should talk about it all night one day and have more people on so we can have a better discussion. Vance, got to push forward preseason. Tony Romo out, 6 to 10 weeks from the Cowboys. Your boy Dak Prescott, stay, is a starting quarterback. Vance, how you feel about Dak and being a starting quarterback for the Cowboys?
Well, really, I hate to see what happened to Tony Romo because I believe now that, you know, Tony Romo is out for 6 to 10 weeks. And if Dak Prescott plays, if he goes into this season and has a 4-2 or 5-1 season, I think Tony Romo's career is over with. I mean, over the years, Tony Romo has had a plethora of injuries, you know, going back to like 2013 or 12, you know. So if Dak comes out and plays good, which, you know, if he has grasp of the offense, I think he should, you know, with that good offensive line and the running game. You know, they're not going to force feed him everything. He's going to keep it simple. And if he can get the team and 5-1, 4-2, I mean, why would you bring Romo back? I mean, there's no reason to me to bring Romo back and mess up that chemistry they're going to have. It's just going to be like when Tom Brady took over. And for the Patriots, I mean, Tom Brady took over. Once he took over, he never gave a job up. Drew Bledsoe had just signed a big deal. I mean, yeah, you know, Drew Bledsoe took him there, but when Tom Brady got in, he showed he could play. So, younger, cheaper, why not? I think Dallas, if Dak Prescott, you know, goes 4-2, 5-1, or if he has a decent record, I think Tom Brady's career is over with. What you think, man?
Man, I just feel like they got to run the ball and just take one game at a time right now. I don't know what Dak Prescott can do. All I know is that he's the starter right now. I would have liked for him to come 2 years down the line and then slow walk his way into the starting QB position. But, man, baptism by fire, as my uncle would say. So sometimes you got to get thrown in the fire and figure out, are you a man or a mouse, or can you handle the heat? So we're going to find out soon enough about Dak Prescott. I don't want to predict nothing for him. But they do have a good start, man. Tony Romo going to be on the hot seat. And if Dak Prescott plays well and Tony Romo comes in and starts throwing picks, people are going to be calling for Dak Prescott. It'll just be a messy situation in Dallas. Just be a messy, and that's what you don't want. You don't want a messy situation in a season where you got a quarterback. You don't want a quarterback controversy at this point. Not in Dallas anyway. That's a big town for football, and that's America's team. So you just want to be mindful as a Cowboy fan or as a player on their team, period. Let's not get overhyped. Let's not get too down. Let's just keep it an even keel. And that is a big difference. But Dallas will be a team. I still feel they can win the NFC East. So, you know, they got a shot still.
Well, you say it's going to be a big controversy. I don't think it's going to be a controversy because, like I said, if Dak Prescott plays well, I mean, no need to take him out of starting line. If he don't play well, if he 2-2, Romo comes back. Just say, 3-3, he's supposed to be out 6 weeks. He comes back in 6 weeks, 3-3. Well, he played 50-50, so we get the reins back to Romo. Romo plays decent, you know, they go to the playoffs. You still got Dak Prescott way in the wings for when Romo's career is over with. It's not going to be a big deal. Now, if Dak plays good, why take him out, though? Why risk that, like I said, the chemistry team got going on? Why, no need to take him out. And then they just find something else to do with Romo. Maybe trade him away, maybe keep him. You never know how stuff going to go. Dak Prescott may get hurt. You know, it might be, you never know. You never know what might happen with a player, but I just think if Dak plays good, you know, he played good in the preseason. I know it's preseason and defense not showing their full play, but, you know, hey, he been playing good. He leading the league and passing yards. So I say give him a chance, and if he can make it to 5-1 or 4-2, let him have the rings.
Well, we'll see. The season's upon us, but another team who has a really bad quarterback situation right now. Breaking news that Teddy Bridgewater's out for the season, torn ACL and other damage. So, I mean, and it may be some nerve damage also. We just don't know what all entails. And Teddy Bridgewater's injury, it just happened today, non-contact drill. So, prayers up for Teddy Bridgewater. Hope he comes out this okay. Van, what the Vikings going to do? The season right here.
I mean, going back to last year, you saw how Minnesota played. They really, you know, didn't let Teddy Bridgewater do too much. They didn't air the ball out. I mean, it wasn't like a whole array of plays for him. So, you know, they stuck around the running game. So this year they're just going to have to do the same thing. They just have to run the ball with AP. You know, keep the Sean Hill comes in and quarterback. You know, keep it vanilla. Keep it, you know, simple. You know, they got some decent wide receivers, but they really didn't. They're just gonna have to play like they played last year. I know they talked about airing the ball out more with Bridgewater this year, but I don't see them really falling off this year because they played that kind of style last year, so they know how to play. As long as the defense played good and the defense played pretty decent last year, they should be all right. I don't think they're going to win a division. I still think the Packers are a better team anyway, but I think they're right there for the second place. So they should. I think they should still make the playoffs, but you never know.
Yeah, it is a rough time. The season's a week or so away. And a week and some days away because the season starts the following Thursday with the Broncos and Panthers. So it's a rough spot. So all the hype they had coming into the season, it's a rough spot for them. And you just wish him the best. And man, from what you would hope that they don't draft another quarterback next year and put Teddy Bridgewater in an awkward spot to someone's over his shoulder, depending on the season the Vikings have. You just hate it for this guy. I mean, he's a good quarterback. He came out of Louisville. He played well. No drama. Hardworking kid. Put the time in, got better. Coach Zimmerman was probably upset. I like Coach Zimmerman, even when he was a defensive coordinator for the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, that whole organization just needed a turnaround, and it kind of wasted AP last couple of years in the NFL. You just hate it. You just hate it, period. But also another news, man, Joey Bosa finally signed with the Chargers, man. You knew he had to fold. The Chargers owner had money. The rookie couldn't hold out much longer. He had to comply with the first ever bonus hold that they asked the rookie to make. And I'm always against trying something on a rookie that's never been done because you want to save a couple of dollars. I think it hurts the Chargers because they did something to try to hold his bonuses over that's never been done to a rookie before. And lessen his money maybe down the line if he get released 3 years later. I just think it's never been done to a rookie. They did it. But it'll hurt them from drafting future rookies. Like, if you do that to your top five guy or what, top 10 guy in Bosa, I won't come there if you're gonna play your rookies like that every time. It's just a bad look for the Chargers. And I just didn't like it for him. I mean, I knew Joey Bosa. I understood why he had to make that stand and say, hey, I don't want to hold off. You asked me to do something that no rookie's ever done, holding off on these bonuses or contract money-wise that no rookie was ever asked to do before because you want to save a couple of dollars and you don't want to make other people restructure. You just want to make me suffer. And I may be here for years to come. I may be the best player you ever had. And this is how you want to play me? I just feel like it's a bad look for the Chargers.
Well, yeah, it's a bad look for the Chargers, but you say that Joey Bosa gave up. I think the Chargers gave him because he's getting his money. You know, they tried to hold him back and restructure his money so he can get his money later.
They did restructure it.
He's getting his money, though.
Technically, he may not get the money. Because if he get released early, he won't get all the money. They put some of those bonuses back.
He gets 85% of it. And they ask him.
No, he's not even getting 85.
He's getting 85% of the signing bonus.
That's what they say now. But I'm telling you, the way it's structured, he can get released. He won't see the majority of that.
Well, the way that they're not gonna release him anyway. So. I mean, it's hurting the team because he didn't have time in training camp. He didn't have time to mesh with his teammates, you know. I mean, you know, it's the last season he ain't coming up. Is he going to play or, you know, does he have that time?
No.
And they got to put him out there.
Yeah. You ain't got to put him out there. You ain't got to put him out there because he don't want to play. I ain't putting him out there if you don't know. You don't know what you're doing. You don't want to put him out there.
He's a defensive end.
He's going to get you right practice by week six. By week six, you should be in there. But I ain't going to put you out there just to get hurt and I just signed you. Nah, I ain't going to do it. Not going to be able to do it.
You know the Chargers defense is not, you know, they need help all over the defense. So they need to get him out there and get him acclimated to the defense as soon as possible. But like I said, he missed all the training camp. He missed most of his preseason on his final game. So. They need to, I mean, and then, you know, a lot of players have been through this with the Chargers. They tried to hold their money. They tried to do the Damian Thompson like that. They did,
We're talking about a rookie. Okay, these are veterans. We're talking about a rookie. They played.
I understand
rookie.
That, but they have done some of their players like that anyway. Some of the star players have done like this. So, you know, I'm not surprised they did rookie like this. I mean, yeah, I just think you enjoy the play on the Chargers, and hopefully it'll work out in both of their favors.
All right, Vance, we got to talk about the NFC West, man. We got to break it down, man. Well, Vance, ain't no other team that we should start with than the 49ers. Let's start with the 49ers. The 49ers have really effed themselves. They pissed in the wind. They got rid of their coach, Jim Harbaugh. They brought in another coach. I forgot his name, but he's no longer there. Then they brought Chip Kelly over. All because management couldn't swallow his pride and get along with Jim Harbaugh. Now, you some we don't need Jim Harbaugh? Look at where you're at now. Starting over with Chip Kelly, Blaine Gabbert, and injured Colin Kaepernick, who ain't got rights, and Jim Harbaugh left. And Colin Kaepernick has a problem with management. It's a bad day in 49 history right now. It truly is. It truly is a bad day. Where the only saving grace you got is Carlos Hyde. And he's just getting back from a concussion. Vance, how you feel about the 49ers, man?
I mean, well, I think they got a couple more players than Carlos Hyde. But, you know, going back to the team that went to the Super Bowl, you have so many players that, I mean, if you look at their team now, Kaepernick, Navarro Bowman, I think Reed, and that's it. I think, you know, I left over from that team. It might be a couple more players here and there, but basically you had players leave, a couple of players retired. I mean, the coach is leaving. I mean, the 49ers have put themselves in a bad spot. But as far as Colin Kaepernick goes, he has been injured. You know, he coming off an injury in which he didn't play the first two preseason games. And, you know, last week was his first time playing in a long time. So you got to give this man time. And you talking about Blaine Gabbert, you know, they talking about Blaine Gabbert might be the starter. Okay, I can see Blaine Gabbert being the starter initially because Kaepernick hadn't caught back up to speed. But as far as a year ago, I don't see him being a starter. They talking about, you know, they had a report about them releasing Kaepernick. Who, and do what? You got Blaine Gabbert, you're going to risk your season on Blaine Gabbert. Mind you, I don't think the 49ers going to do anything this year. But I'm just saying, at least have a quarterback who can do something. But they, like I said, they don't. I mean, Carlos Hyde, and then on the rest of the offense, to me, you really don't have none. You have Torrey Smith. He's a one-trick pony. I don't think he can do a catch a deep ball. And after that, what do you have? So they don't need Colin Kaepernick. They don't need somebody who can scramble around, make some plays over the field, because I just don't see standing in the pocket Blaine Gabbert to win anything for the 49ers this year.
Man, they only gonna win two games this season, and maybe three. I don't see it. Blaine Gabbert gonna start for them. For some odd reason, I feel like they're gonna get rid of Colin Kaepernick, and Blaine Gabbert gonna be that guy. I see it, man.
I mean,
I see it.
Yeah, but I mean, like I said though, after that, you have nothing after Colin Kaepernick on offense. Nothing. Carlos Hyde, and like I said, Torrey Smith, but he only goes deep. Bruce Ellington, I mean, they got some decent players. They got a lot of CFL players on the team. I mean, come on, man. I just don't see them doing anything this year, Kaepernick or not. But I think Kaepernick gives them the best chance to stay kind of competitive in games. I'm not going to say he's going to give them the best chance to win, because I really don't think they're going to win in that many games a year. But at least you can watch the game for a little while, because Blaine Gabbert is not there.
Okay. All right, man. The L.A. Rams, man. How you feel about the L.A. Rams, man? Hey, I've been watching Hard Knocks, and I've been seeing Jeff Fisher talking, we're better than 8-8. Man, I'm already going to tell you what the Rams are going to be. They're going to be 8-8. They're going to be even. They ain't no better and no worse than where they were last year. They're going to be 8-8. How you feel about the Rams?
No, well, I feel about the same way about the Rams. I don't think the Rams are going to be no better or no worse. You never know, they might be a little worse than they were last year. I think their defense, they have some good defensive players that's going to step up this year. Better Ogletree. You got Aaron Donald. You got T.J. McDonald. I mean, those are some real playmates on defense. And on offense, you got Todd Gurley. And you got Austin. Tavon Austin, you know, but other than that, you know, in the quarterback position, you really relying on Case Keenum, and you know Goff is not really, you can see that from the preseason, that he's not ready to play right now. So until they get the quarterback situation going up and up, I don't I don't see the Rams doing anything. So 8-8, 7-9, but who I see the Rams being this year.
Yeah, the whole team. But
well, you know, they got
this time. Hey, that's all I got to say about the Rams. They ain't Nate. Jeff Fisher ain't no better than what he was last year, the year before that, or when he was in Tennessee. I think he's got his claim to fame when he passed Steve McNair and they went to the Super Bowl, and he's been holding on that. And the Music City Miracle play. After that, Jeff Fisher just an average coach to me. Ain't no better and no worse than any other coach who's been average his whole career. That's how I feel about it. And we're moving on from Jeff Fisher and the L.A. Rams. Now, man, let's head to Seattle. Hey, Legion of Boom, man. Legion of Boom. Legion of Boom. They here. They ready. Their offensive line still need work. They lost Beast Mode. 9-7, man. I got them going 9-7.
Well, I think that Seattle is going. I think Seattle is still going to be in that playoff range where you never know if they can make the Super Bowl or not because, yeah, they lost some players on offensive line, but I think Seattle, for the most part, is still staying packed. They still got Russell Wilson. He can make up some plays with his feet. The defense, you know the defense you got is good with Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas. Michael Bennett is still there. I mean, so it really relies on offense. And one thing, another thing I like about Seattle, what they got, a lot of people don't know ACC running back named Alex Smith from went to Arkansas. I think by the middle of this year, you're going to see Alex Smith playing a little bit more this year. And I think he's going to be the back that leads them. They basically got the same team they had last year. I just don't see them having such a big fallout like a lot of people do. I have them going maybe 10-6 this year, but I do have them at least making to the conference finals.
Oh man, no, I don't know. I just nope. I can't see it.
Defense don't care.
I just don't see the offensive line and them running the ball like they did when Beast Mode was there. I feel like it's gonna take a while for them to adjust to figure out who they really are. Like
Alex Cobb. Alex Cobb.
I just don't see it for them, man. I just don't see it. But man, we got to head to the final team. They're going to be in the Super Bowl. Cardinals, man. Arizona Cardinals. They're Super Bowl bound. They are Super Bowl bound. How you feel about the Arizona Cardinals, man?
I mean, Arizona has a good team, but, you know, Super Bowl bound, I think you need to pump the brakes on that. I mean, got players that I would like to see what do. I want to see what Larry Fitzgerald still has in the tank. Carson Palmer, you never know what you're going to get out of Carson Palmer. Yeah, he's been pretty good the last couple of years, but I've been some years that he was pretty bad with the Raiders and with the last year with Cincinnati. Matthews, I mean, you got Patrick Peterson, but you got to think about is Arizona going to have a good run game? I mean, I still think Chris Johnson still has something left in the tank, but I really don't know. Now, what I am going to I'm going to look at Arizona. Like I said, they got pretty good defense. I want to see how Robert Condici plays and how much time he gets, you know, coming out of high school. He's the number one rated defensive tackle, number one rated player in the nation coming out of high school. He went to Ole Miss, had a couple good years. Could have been better, but they got him as a steal, and I think they're going to plug him right in. So I just want to see what he's going to do this year. Chandler Jones, they picked up. They got a good team, but Super Bowl, though? I don't know.
Playoff,
yeah. Super Bowl, no.
Well, I got them going, man. That's next to that beef. I got them going.
What you got the record being?
Huh?
What you think the record going to be this year?
Well, they win 12 games. They win 12 games, they get the second bye. And, man, they end up going to Super Bowl. I mean, they don't have to play Seattle. They're going to miss Seattle. They play Seattle, it'd be tough. But I feel like Seattle going to get beat.
They got to go through Seattle. I just don't see them going through Seattle. I really don't.
I feel like they're gonna get lucky and not see Seattle, and then either they gonna run into Dak Prescott or Tony Romo, and they're gonna lay that threat. But I feel like, man, the Cardinals, to me, I'm picking the Cardinals to go to the Super Bowl. I ain't saying they're going to win the Super Bowl. I got them going. I just got them going.
So,
the Vans, huh?
Who you got them playing against in the NFC Championship game?
I'll let you know at a later date, but that's the team I got going from the NFC. But I'm going to let you know at the finale of the NFL preview. But all right, man.
Okay.
Peace and love. We all finished with Colin Kaepernick. We out of here.